Law of excluded middle. Law of excluded middle. These laws, by the way, were originally formulated by Aristotle, but the traditional logical laws. First law, the law of excluded middle says, everything either has a given property or it lacks that property. So you take a given object, it either is red or it's not red. Whatever object you choose. So you take a red object, well, then it's red. If you take an object which is blue, then it's not red. And every object is such that it either is red or it's not red. Okay? Put it in terms of propositions. Every proposition is either true or it's false. Right? It's either true or it's not true. There's no middle ground between them. There's no way in which an object can be between being red and not red, failing, you know, somehow being neither one thing nor the other. Everything is either a man or not a man. Everything is either a physical object or not a physical object. Whichever property or predicate we take, predicate means a word which expresses something like redness, whichever property we take, an object either has it or it doesn't have it. No middle ground. Now this again should seem to be a very trivial principle, and it is. Let me make a little comment about something here which is not so straightforward as the law of identity. It has to do with vagueness. I gave the example of redness, and I said, well, either a thing is red or it's not red. You might say, well, aren't there intermediate borderline shades where you can't say one or the other? Isn't there middle ground in the sense of something which is a borderline between something which is red and not red? Suppose I were to say everything is either a child or not a child. You say, well, aren't there borderline cases? Like, isn't an adolescent on the border between those two things? That's okay. I mean, I think you can. That point is right, but it's easy to see why it doesn't really compromise the law of excluded middle. We can just reformulate it to say everything is either definitely something or not definitely something. So everything's either definitely red or not definitely red. A borderline case is not definitely red. So there's no. The idea of the excluded middle is there's always this dichotomy between having something, a property, and not having that property. That when there's vagueness, that's okay. It just means you've got to be able to say everything either has the property definitely or does not have it definitely. And then again, you've got a self-evident principle. So vagueness, though, it causes you to reformulate a bit the simple version of the excluded middle, doesn't really compromise the heart of that principle, the essence of what that principle is getting at. Now, this principle, actually, of excluded middle is not just a principle which applies to every conceivable object in every conceivable possible world. It actually has a significance in connection with something seemingly remote from it, which I'm going to talk about later. It's this. Often when we're trying to talk about reality, we will invoke excluded middle to make a point about reality. So I suppose I'm wondering about whether something is the case. I don't know whether something is the case. I'm speculating. Suppose I don't know, you know, what made the dinosaurs go extinct, and I'm wondering whether it was a meteor hitting Earth that made them go extinct. And I may express myself by saying, you know, I don't know whether it was a meteor that made them go extinct. Was it the rise of the mammals that competed with them? Was it some other catastrophe we don't know about? Was it their excessive size? But of all these things, whatever I may say, it was either one thing or the other, I say. So either it was the meteor that made them go extinct, or it was not the meteor that made them go extinct. Either it was the mammals competing, or it was not the mammals competing. I don't know which, I might say. I can't decide which, but I know it was one or the other. Now, when I do that, what I'm basically saying is, given excluded middle is a logical law, reality is either one way or another. It either has the property or it lacks that property. I may not be able to know which of those things is the case, but what I do know is it's either one way or the other. And when I say that, what I'm basically giving expression to is the idea that reality is independent of my knowledge of it. I'm saying that reality has a certain characteristic, is a way, is one way, or is not that way, irrespective of my ability to find out what way it is. And that's a very important point about what's sometimes called realism, the idea that reality is a certain way, whether or not we can find out that it's that way. The sceptic is not disputing that principle at all. Descartes, if he was considering this, would say, well, this is just the way I could make my point. Either you're in the matrix or you're not in the matrix. You can't tell which, but you're one way or the other. Either there is a real world that you're not dreaming of, or you are dreaming of it. One is true and the other is not true. Your trouble is you can't decide which. Well, that whole way of explaining scepticism uses the excluded middle to express the point that reality is the way it is, independently of our ability to find out the way it is. So this logical principle doesn't just apply to reasoning and to the way objects must be in any world. It's also a good way to understand the nature of objectivity and realism and the relationship between knowledge and reality. The third logical principle is called the law of non-contradiction. It says this: nothing can both have a property and lack that property at the same time. So, for example, nothing can both be red and not be red at the same time. Sue Middle says everything is either red or not red. This one says nothing can be red and not be red at the same time. Nothing can be a man and not be a man. I keep saying at the same time because, of course, things can change over time. So what this says is that reality can never exemplify contradictory properties. If properties contradict each other, one is being F and one is not being F, to be the general, if F is the general name of a property, then nothing can be F and not be F at the same time. If they contradict each other, then they can't be instantiated or exemplified by the same object at the same time. In terms of propositions,